I sat where you are sitting last year at the workshop, and I kept listening to everything that was being said, and I thought about that it sounded a little exciting and everything else, but I also thought, I wonder who's going to do this. And it's always exciting when you get people that have suggestions for you to do it, but I'm thinking, is he going to double my work? And I'll never forget, I was invited to an elders meeting before the workshop here in January. And usually we have scheduled elders meetings. And this was not a scheduled elders meeting, so I wasn't too sure what that was all about. And you know how that is, preacher elders meetings, and I'll just let your mind go with that. Thank God it's better than business meetings. But one of the brothers had called this meeting, and I wasn't too sure. He had mentioned to me, and the brother's here. I told him I was going to make him pay for what he's put me through the last 6 months or a year. And Brother Bob Walters is with us from Erie, Pennsylvania. I've been up here for 3.5 years preaching at the congregation there. And Bob wanted to do something. He was at a point in time in his own personal life that he felt like he needed more study, a deeper study of the Word of God. And so he came to the elders, and he'd done some research. And he researched Sunset, SIBI, and then he researched another school. And he was just trying to make up his mind. And so I just sat there. And, of course, I'm a graduate of Sunset in 73 here, and I was sitting there, and I almost fell off my chair. I was so impressed with this guy. I had never seen a presentation like that. It was one of those presentations that you felt like you wish you had done it. Your name was on it. And because I saw one of the elders that hardly, you know, stayed awake during the meeting, literally fall out of his chair. He was so excited about this brother researching something called SIBI and satellite schools. I'd heard about the extension school. Virgil and I were in school not too far apart, and he's been in charge of that, and I really didn't know what that was going to entail. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that I wasn't too sure about, but I couldn't believe the response of the eldership. We're a congregation of 100 to 125 people, grew up, caught between New York and Ohio, and we're just locked in there with a bunch of snow. By the way, they've got about 14 inches up here right now. Wind chill is 8 below 0, and we're here, and we're glad. And I'll tell you, we were thinking about what can we do? We've been talking for about a year about what can we do to really do something for this church. And they got together, myself and two of the brothers there, and the elders says they challenged us to come up with some ideas. And I thought, oh, boy, really they didn't call it a committee, but that's what I felt. And so we got together and we put some ideas together, and we thought, what can we do? And so we put them all together of what we need to do. First of all, we need to have a mission statement. We need to have a vision of what our church, our congregation needed for our community to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we thought of all kinds of things. We put together. First of all, we begin to analyze what was wrong with us. What was our weaknesses? And we found that we really were not strong at all with the Word of God. A lot of our people had been in the church many years but didn't know really the basic doctrines of the church. And that's sort of scary, because you're only one generation away from apostasy. And you begin to see the young adults at the congregation, they're sort of hit and miss, and you thought, well, with the grandchildren coming on, their children coming on, if mom and dad are hit and miss, what's going to happen to the future of our congregation? How are we going to survive? And so we just kept praying about it. We began to research Bob's idea. So we thought, we need to study God's Word. We need to create a young adult Bible class to get them coming. We need to do some other things. And those ideas are great, but what kind of tools can we get this job done from taking it off of paper and ideas to something that's really going to be dynamic and exciting, something that's not going to be mediocre, that we're going to plan to fail more or less? Well, we'll just do this, and we'll invest, $3,000 or $4,000, and we'll do all this. Our building is over 30 years old and has never been touched. The basement had water problems in that. We had no room really for a stall whatsoever. The lighting was terrible. There was dampness down there. It stunk. It smelled. It was embarrassing. And for 30 years, these people kept asking themselves, are we going to do anything with it? Well, one lady had an idea. Well, can anybody blow it up? I forgot this is on tape, isn't it? I won't mention her name. And I didn't think that was the right idea, so I just couldn't believe every time we would talk about it, say, well, they're just never going to do anything. We're just never going to do anything. Of course, that never happened any other place in Erie, Pennsylvania. And, you know, we just aren't going to be able to accomplish anything. And so, finally, we just got together and said, let's do it. And we bought the tapes. And then all of a sudden, you know, Bob comes by my office. By the way, this is Bob Walters here. You can help me kill him later for what he's got me into here. But I want you to know that Bob comes along, he gives me a little pamphlet about the workshop. Well, Bob, I don't know. There's expense to that workshop. And I always go to the Tulsa workshop, and I only get so many workshops. And next thing I know, the other says, I think that's a great idea. Bob stays home, and my wife and I come. Don't you like brethren that sort of volunteer you for work in the church? And so all of a sudden, there was a vision from our eldership that I'd never seen before. I want you to know that I'm not up here bragging about anything that we've done at all. Matter of fact, I'd call Bob Jackson on the phone, and I'd get excited. Didn't take a whole lot. But anyhow, I'd call him on the phone, and of course, Bob's an excitable fella anyhow. I can't believe it. I don't know what he was doing. I think when I talked to him on the phone, he was holding the phone out like that, and he and his wife Sandy were just laughing. This guy's so loud and crazy. But I called Bob on the phone, and I said, listen, I can't believe it. I just feel like, I don't know what's happening. I've never felt this way in 25 years of preaching the gospel of Christ. I've never seen anything like it. I've never felt this way before. I don't know what's happening. But we like it. We're going to keep doing it. And so we began to get out of the road and let God and His Holy Spirit begin to work. And we saw some things done in a matter of months that hadn't been done in that congregation in over 30 years. Because it's of God's Spirit. When it's of God, it works. If you remember what Gamaliel said when the people were excited in the book of Acts about the way. And Gamaliel said, hey, listen, if it be of God, what can you do about it? I promise to do that tomorrow in another class where we've got more time. And what's so funny is you walk into the building up there and people are excited about getting to the building and they're wondering what's going to happen next. Have you had that? That's when the Spirit really is alive and well. And so we met with the elders again. I came down here and we got trained. If you look on number 4 in your outlook here, your outline book there, I gave you an exact copy of what I got in front of me. So if I don't cover it, and you encourage me to preach, Bob, it's their fault, and you go home and read what Bob assigned me to tell you later on in his stuff. I believe that Bob's excitement and his taking the time of researching SIBI and finding it out and signing the papers and getting the tapes. We don't have a whole lot of money. In 1996, I'd been out of preaching for 4 years to help one of my stepchildren who's going through some personal problems. I quit preaching in the St. Louis area, went back there, took care of her, and had been out of preaching 4 years, and I don't know, I was sort of burnt. And I was looking for a job, but I wasn't looking for a job. I was working for a computer company. You know, it used to be insurance, now it's computers. But anyhow, I was working for a computer company and I thought, well, I'll just send it out. I'll send the resume out. And this elder called me and it's about Tulsa time and he said, well, you didn't send us a tape. And I said, well, I'm really not looking for a job, I'm looking for a ministry. Because I've had jobs all my life. But I haven't had a ministry that was real. The ministry that would touch people. The ministry that grabbed people by the throat and the heart and turn their lives around, and finally the good news would come to them. They could see it making a difference in their lives. And we were able to begin to go there. Now, I really didn't want to go there. It's cold up there. And so God closed every door except that one. And we relived 1 Timothy. As Paul had told him to go to Ephesus and straighten out that church. It was once alive, but now it was sort of stagnant and dead. We began to talk about it, get ideas. Went down to an unfaithful member's business there in town and thought, well, I'll get him involved. Nothing else, we'll give him some money. He'd like that. And so went down there and we designed the Erie Bible Institute flyer. We didn't know anything. We just went by the seat of our pants. And we just created it. And this lady there who had attended our congregation one time, her husband was affiliated with the Church of Christ, and she sort of came out because her boss was an ex-member. And for some reason, she came that Sunday. I met Debbie, and Debbie's the one that helped put us together. And so we got these flyers together and all these things, and it was exciting. We began to ask people in the congregation and talking about it, and we decided, the elders and I decided with the approval of the congregation, that we would just offer it to brothers and sisters at this time. We're the only congregation in Erie, Pennsylvania, the Lord's Church. The closest congregation is probably 35 to 40 miles away, or minutes away in Conneaut, Ohio. And so we just sent it around to the Erie congregations, an hour, 2-3 hours, Niagara Falls, even into Canada, and some of the places, and we just thought, well, we'll just see what we get. And it amazed me that I sent a paper around to Wednesday night Bible class, and people began to sign up. Now, most of them, of course, were signing up for auditing. When it was all said and done, that first semester, we ended up with 35 students last August. 33 finished last week, or in last part of December, our first course, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. 9 of them were taken above auditing. 3 are taking it for credit. One preacher for the Church of Christ in Jamestown, New York, drives an hour and a half in the snow, doesn't miss a class. It's changed his ministry. It's changed his preaching. It's changed our relationship, where congregations didn't have any relationship with each other in that area of the country. When you're the only preacher up there, I'll tell you what, you drive some miles to be with another brother. I'll leave that alone. So members begin to invite their friends. Everything that the brother Richard said before this last session is so true. And I just sat there and kept smiling. And Brother Bob was sort of smiling because it's exactly what has happened in our place. So, get ahead of myself sometimes. So all of a sudden, I had done a wedding not too long during that time for one of our family members there in another city. There's 5 families that drive about an hour to church from southern Pennsylvania up to Erie. And I'd gotten to know them a lot better and in the premarital counseling and everything else. And the older sister of that group, she's married, has 2 children. And we had taken her teenage daughter on a youth rally up in Canada at one of the colleges up there and had a great time. And she took a cousin with her, and they're non-members, and we just had a wonderful time, and we began to just a relationship, and it just so happened that her father was a builder. And it just so happened that when we decided that we were going to do something, we decided to put him in charge of it, and he could subcontract it out. It just so happened we didn't have a whole lot of money. It just so happened that one of the elders went down to the bank and got a line of credit for $50,000 and said, let's do it. And he brought it before the congregation, and I mean to tell you what, it's the difference between darkness and light to walk in that building. I said, what school? How long we got to build this thing? And they kept saying, well, Gail said the school's going to start August 31st. And I'm telling you what, when August 31st came, except for a little bit of trim around the bathrooms, we didn't have any bathrooms down there. Oh, it was disgusting. And we've got handicapped restrooms in that building now. We got a purple floor in that building. That's my idea. Keeps them awake. They could ever sleep through me. One of the brothers, the same brother, Bob goes out and he researches, says, we need a television set. And I said, yeah, but if we have so many people, we're going to have a big television set. So Bob goes all over town. He comes back into the elders' meeting, calls me back in, and I should have known better than going to his meetings with Bob. And we go back in there, and the next thing I know, our elders are saying, Bob, go buy a 56-inch television set. Well, can you imagine what some of those sisters said when they came downstairs to see that television set? Super Bowl Sunday's coming up next, isn't it? That's not what they said, but that's what I was thinking. But anyhow, you know, the neat thing about it was, all of a sudden, I never saw anything like that in my life. I saw people so ecstatic and excited. We had 14-year-olds up to 76-year-olds, my 76-year-old mother in that class. We had a Monday morning class for mostly the women. We had a babysitter there that would come take care of the children from 10 o'clock Monday morning to 11:30. And then we had a Thursday night class. We just had one class. That's what we started out. We're just flying by the seat of our pants. We want to crawl before we start going crazy up there. And so we had the Thursday night class. We had it from 7 to 8:30. And I'm telling you what, it's amazing to see what God has done. One of our members, his wife had died in the 3.5 years I've been there, there's only been one death in the congregation of an actual member. There's been some relatives and stuff like that. But he decided in memory of his wife, he was going to build a kitchen. And so we said, that's a great idea. You build the kitchen, but, you know, have it done by August 31st. So this sister in Christ, husband who was a builder, I had met him at some of the rehearsal dinners and stuff like that, and we got to be friends, and I kept hitting on him for a Bible study, and that hasn't happened yet, but we did baptize his daughter just a few weeks ago into Christ. You see what happened? He felt an ownership. Here's a non-member coming all the time. He felt an ownership because he had something to do with bringing that church forward. They hadn't been in debt in a number of years. They hadn't thought about what was going to get the financing. I mean, the first year I was there, brethren, they were so excited about me being there that they lowered the budget. Well, we can't meet it, so we better lower it. And I'm thinking, you don't get a raise when they lower the budget, preacher. And you got to wait till next year for reevaluation. At least where I've been, that's the way it's handled. Do you know, all said and done, the school started on time. You revitalized that church. We had a lot of our young adults that had children, and they weren't bringing them to Bible class. But they'd come to worship. So we decided, a lot of people don't like this, but that's up to you. Works for us, okay? And so we decided that we were going from the ages of 3 to 10, we were going to have Kids for Christ right after the Lord's Supper. We're going to sing a song and dismiss the younger children, and different young adults were signed up, and boy, they just took over that group and everything else. And boy, that facility has just gone crazy. They've got their own room. Every once in a while, they get to come into the Erie Bible Institute room and put in a video. And, you know, they get to see that on that 56-inch television screen, and they think, hey, this is something special. And when this was a congregation, when I went there, it didn't have very many children. And now when you see those about 35 of them running between your legs and going down there and everything else, somebody says, boy, that's a lot of noise. But that's the future. I like the noise. Brings us to life, doesn't it? You see, it all started with a vision. We were very simplistic. I know the brotherhood's going crazy with mission statements and vision and whatever works for you, works for you. I'm not knocking that. But we decided that we'd just take the ultimate mission statement and vision of Jesus in Matthew 28 to go into all the world. Teach, baptize, and teach you over and over again. And we could use that library even if we failed at the school. God forbid. We would at least have some resources that the members of the church could come there and pop in a tape and review 1 Corinthians before they got out there and got out on a limb when they're teaching about 1 Corinthians 5 and about that woman, that man that's in an incestuous relationship, and the brethren were putting up with it. And what are we going to do about it? Because you got that in your own congregation. So isn't it sort of neat? How am I going to handle this? Well, go and get some advice. Isn't it better going and getting a videotape out, pop that thing in there, you know, do it real fast in a few minutes, instead of saying, well, I don't have that book. I better call brother over so-and-so and go get his book, or go down to the library, or read old so-and-so's commentary at some other religious belief. Isn't it awesome to have a resource like that? By the way, I do lock mine up. Nobody gets mine. They're in my office. The elders have a key. I have a key. Not even the cleaning lady. I have to clean my own office, though. That's the bad part about it. So we had that simple vision, but we needed something to take that vision off the paper. We needed a tool, and there was SIBI. It became a tool to bring a church to life. They were good folks, good people, lovely people, educated people. We've got, it's such a mixed race congregation. I mean, people are coming in there. I mean, I am not lying to you. Ask my other Bob. And my wife Judy, she's here. Ask them, are people literally in the last few months walking in off the streets? And we're just sort of scratching our heads and saying, wow, this is pretty good. Why didn't we do this before? I don't know. People are taking tours. It was neat while the building was going on. Everybody's taking a little tour down there every week. What else did you do? So like when you have a house built, you go out there and what did they do today? Oh, they put it in the bathroom. Oh, great. And you walk out, you go there every little bit of time. Well, they put the shingles on the roof or whatever, you know. Are people who had never seen anything done, except my office being redone when I got there. That wasn't my idea, brethren. It really wasn't. I told them all I needed was a bed in there and I wouldn't have to go home. I had to just invite my wife down. I love that thing. That was a neat office. And the elder said, well, you can have that office as long as we've got keys to it and we can use it too. I said, that's fine. But how does that vision impact productivity? Every time they came, they wanted to see what else was being done. We were hitting them with EBI every week from the pulpit, from the bulletin. Sort of nice because my wife does a bulletin. We could really get them, you know. And so we would promote it from there. And so all of a sudden we had the vision for the school which motivated our faith. We had a need of appropriate facilities which we took care of. We found the financing. And then we decided, hey, if you want to help us, listen to this. If you want to help us, then why don't we get some building fund envelopes as a side thing? And let's see if you're really serious about this thing or not. You know, some of our problems is, even in leadership, and I'm not knocking elders because I feel anybody that's taking the leadership in the church is leading in some way. If you're talking to somebody, inviting somebody to Jesus Christ, you're a leader. But the point, I'm using it in that terminology. But the thing about it is, we're afraid to challenge our people. And so what happens is, we get up there and we challenge them. Let me tell you something. They didn't think they were going to meet the budget this past year. When I went there, they had $68,000 in 1996. That was the budget. No, it was supposed to be $73,000. They didn't make the budget, so they lowered the next year to $68,000. We crawled through that. We crawled through some legalism the first year and waded through some stuff to build a foundation. And then we finally, with the fellowship and everything else and with the school and being the tool that we could use, they set a budget of 14 something, 100 a week, 100 people or so, kids and all that. You know, we count cockroaches and dogs and woodchucks. We got woodchucks up there real well. Come to Bible class most of the time. But we had that. And this year we went with $12,000 of sacrificial giving. We went over the budget. We ended up giving $95,000 this year to the Lord. And the elder said after they found out what it was, because they're just finalizing everything, we're a little slow, you know. Church don't start until 10 after anyhow. you know, with Church of Christ, you know. I tell my Bible class they don't get in the seat till 10. I might not, there's no reason to start at 10 o'clock Bible class in my congregation because, the congregation there, because they're not going to come until, you know, 10 after. Sister Susie will be right there in that pew with her morning coffee. So they said, you know what? Let's set the budget from $1,400 to $1,720 a week. Wow. It's not bad. That's better than $1,200 when I first went there. And then they lowered it to $11. Then we went to $14. Went to $17. Last Sunday morning, the contribution was $1,785. I think we set it too low, but that's my opinion. I'm just glad we're not going in the other direction. They put in the budget this year, not only money to keep paying on the monthly deal of the tapes, but they put in the budget $3,500 for Erie Bible Institute. They paid for Bob and I and my wife to be down here, flew us down here, let us eat at the neatest places like, you know, the room over there and the one upstairs. And I have two sons that live in this town, and they were, this was told to me by Bob Jackson, I don't know if it's true or not, but not that Bob lies, I don't mean it that way, he might not have heard it right, excuse me a minute. But, you know, they were trying to decide where they were going to put me, and they were flipping to see, because neither one wanted me, so they were flipping to see which one was going to have to take me, save a motel, you know. But seriously, I want you to know that it brought back so much productivity, you see. They had a reason for giving. I understand that the Scriptures command us to give as we purpose in our heart, but sometimes we got to show them something. I mean, if you as a husband and wife work all week and months at a time, and you're working after a while, you get used to the income and the job gets toilsome, but every once in a while, if you're able to put a new little couch there or a new car in the driveway or to help your children and your grandchildren out, you think it's worth it, don't you? Why is the church any different? We're a family. You know, I've never owned a house in my life until now. Well, 99% of it belongs to a mortgage company, but I got me a house. My wife and I and my mother came to live with me in March. Together, we just put everything together and we got ourselves a house. It's got a bar in the basement. It's got a swimming pool outside there with two decks. I just can't believe what God has done for us. Not about the bar, by the way, but just wanted to wake you up. It's afternoon. You had a heavy lunch. I want you to know that we didn't think anything about it. We figured out what our finances were. We thought about what we could afford. We were paying so much rent, and they kept raising the rent and raising the rent and raising the rent, and they wouldn't do anything for us. Well, you know, after a while, you get a little smart. But see, what it did, I'm telling you what this whole picture did. When we were able to buy the house, it told the congregation we were committed to them. And when they saw that the preacher and his wife and his mother was committed to them, because that was the thing that was taking me back to Ohio where I'm from, was her care. My father died a couple years ago. And so I kept running back to her, see her health needs and everything else. So we just brought her back. Bought a house big enough, and she got involved and got alive in the church as one of our students. Isn't it amazing? That took three people to sign their name away, and we're worried about going down and get a line of credit for $50,000. But at least it's a start. And by the way, we still got 15 of that line of credit available, and I got some ideas. You see, we needed some time restraints, but the school was the motivation to get the job done. We start a lot of things and never finish them. Hey, you know, brother, I think that light bulb needs to be replaced. What do you think? Yeah. Sir? Aren't you in charge of the building? Yeah. Got any light bulbs? Yeah. 4 weeks later, we have the same conversation. Finally, I decide, where's the ladder? And I change the bulb. But you see, our people are good people, but if they have no motivation, if they see nothing coming from their giving and worshiping, and then when they come together, it's going to be the same old, same old. I'm telling you what, when they come together now, they're wondering what's going to happen next. And that's Bible preaching and Bible teaching. We're serious about this thing. We want to know more about our Jesus. We want to know more how to be a better husband and how to be a better wife. We want to know more how to be a better grandpa and grandma. That we just don't retire and I've done enough for the church. You kids go on your own there. Let me tell you something. You have a responsibility to your grandchildren. I'm sorry, I got off the subject and got on something I love. Is my grandson in here? He's out? Okay, he's out. I got a 6-month grandson down there. That's the only reason I come back here, to tell you the truth. How does the vision impact attendance? Oh, with all that happening, what do you think? What do you think? With the atmosphere that we've created there together by God's Spirit, it isn't me. We got Bob down here. Bob's being qualified now as a co-worker with me. So we can expand the school. We've got a second class coming up in another week and a half. The distinctive nature of the church by who else? Bob heard him in the auditorium while I go and said, you know, he needs to brush up on his scripture. Don't tell Ed I said that. But you know, seriously, I think what we're seeing here is that the attendance is exciting. I mean, when we come to class, we have a bright lights and a beautiful place to come and relax in. We have comfortable restrooms that you can run there and go and not miss a whole lot. I mean, I'm getting down to where we live. You know what it's like every Thursday night coming in there with 24 students ranging from 14 years old to 76 years old, enjoying each other's fellowship, celebrating whoever has a birthday with a cake and some punch and some excitement, teaching God's Word, staying on the subject. Isn't it a thrill to watch the people go up to my wife she's the reason why there's so much success with her and the Holy Spirit, because I'm telling you what, they go up to her and they say, listen, I need to quote to you 5 verses right now. And boy, they're really banging them off, boy. It's so exciting to see that young mothers calling up and say, are you going to be home? I said, yes, we are. They said, well, we'll be right over because I got this in my mind and I would give it to you right now before I lose it. And so she drives over with the 2 kids and she puts the 2 kids over on the side and she sits down by my wife and hands her the Bible and she quotes the scripture. To see these people grow, it's amazing. How does that affect the pulpit? I used to be refined and bashful and shy. I'm telling you the truth, really. But you know what? It really works. It really works. There's so many side benefits to a Bible Institute, my brethren. There's so many things I can't begin to talk to you about. Those people are so excited, and they're excited because, hey, are you taking for? Oh, you're going to do level 2? Well, okay. Well, I'm going to do level 1. Wait a minute, level 3? I'll get it right. See, I'm not in charge anymore. Bob's going to take it over. Level 3? He wants to take it for credit. Oh, are you going to take it for credit? Well, I guess if you're going to take it for credit, I guess I can memorize some scripture and do a paper. And all of a sudden, here these people are challenging each other. And 3 of them to take it for credit, and 6 take it for level 2. And you ought to hear, it's so neat to see 3 or 4 husbands and wives there together studying God's Word. Paying money for a babysitter, listen to this now, paying money for a babysitter while they stay downstairs and study God's Word instead of going out watching an R-rated movie. Now, isn't that better, brethren? Amazes me we don't have money for anything. Well, you got to have some free babysitting here. Hey, it's worth it. It's worth it. A challenge to students to fulfill their commitment. Becoming a school family. The power of our prayer time as a group. Praying for each other's needs. Becoming a small group within ourselves. And what's to be bigger and better? How does that vision impact our survival? I think that vision impacts our survival because we know now, with just what a little bit of effort and a few bucks, we know what we can do. And just think, if we really believe what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, just think, if we really believe that, what God can do for us. and through us, and in spite of us. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, and I've got a big imagination, according to the power that worketh in us. It's us, brethren. That Holy Spirit that rose up Jesus Christ is that Holy Spirit that indwells the body, the temple of the living God, and that's in us. If he's alive, why can't we act like that and show that and have an atmosphere? You talk about survival. Our people are waiting for the next thing to happen. In September or August rather, we'll be putting signs in our yard earlier than that. Home of Erie Bible Institute. We already have it on our answering machine. I can't quote it correctly right now. Thank you for calling the Church of Christ the home of Erie Bible Institute. And then we give our time of services, and they have a need, they can leave a message at that time. We have it in our paper that we pay for already, our weekly services, and I call in before Tuesday morning and give my topics every week. And so we listed it in there, right underneath. And it gives our Erie, you know, the West Broadway, can't tell you where I live now, West Grandview Church of Christ in Erie, Pennsylvania, home of Erie Bible Institute. Little things. But you know what it did to our members when they call up to try to find out where I'm hiding? You know what it did? And they heard that and it was different and, wow, that's pretty neat. And it started to catch on. And they read it in the paper. Hey, I hear what you're going to preach on this week. You see, it's little things. It's not the big things that you can do, brethren. I see the survival of the group being something phenomenal. Opportunities to learn God's Word. Who could be against that in the congregation? Tell me now. Opportunities to use our knowledge in immediate service to others. You know what excites me more than anything? What excites me is being called into an elders meeting and saying, starting last week, that's the last Sunday night you'll have to preach for a good while. You've got too much work. You're spreading yourself too thin. And starting the first Sunday of February in the evenings, the first and third Sunday nights, men students in our Erie Bible Institute will bring in the lesson that they've learned somewhere in Timothy, Titus, or the distinctive nature of the church. To let the congregation see their loved ones, their daddies, their mom, their fathers, their grandpas, or whatever they are, up front teaching a lesson for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, or they might even be like a preacher and preach for an hour. Who knows? They'll be able to blame somebody else instead of the regular guy. But you know what? You know what? Seriously, I just couldn't believe to see our elders grow. We have three elders. Phenomenal guys. They've been through a lot. They stood up for some stuff and some people left the first year I was there. And I'm thankful they didn't blame me. Well, they did in a way. They thought we put in unscriptural elders, so I was an unscriptural preacher and we went through a lot of that stuff. It isn't easy, folks, is it? We pray every time we get together that God will keep us from the evil one because He is so powerful. But at the same time, we can't keep in the back of our mind and be successful with the work of God, with waiting to find out where the next shoe is going to drop. And we've got a mentality in the church so often about, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Listen, I went out and got a brand new car the other week. I leased, by the way. I had to, or I was going to walk. You know, I didn't think anything about whether I got sick and couldn't pay the payment, and you don't either. But somehow in the church, we bring a mentality sometimes that just strangleholds the future of God's people. We're taking the school this fall to the community. In the city of Erie, Pennsylvania, there are 110,000 people in the city limits. But there's something unique about Erie, Pennsylvania. Well, there's a lot of things unique about it, but we won't go into that now. My time's gone. But the uniqueness is there is a township that borders all around, two townships that borders all around, or maybe more than that, but at least two big ones, Mill Creek Township and Harbor Creek Township on the east. We're on the west side in Mill Creek Township, our church building. In that area of Erie, Pennsylvania, that all that area there, there are 250,000 people with a church of 120. And I thank God for Sunset, not only for my own education and the education of my two of my three sons, but I'll tell you what, I thank God for the vision that they had, because it gave us a vision. It's given our church life. You'll hear people say, Bob and Sandy came up to visit with us, and we were so excited for them to be there. I couldn't get the furnace to work in the house, and they froze to death that night. But I think he saw firsthand what I'm talking about. It's not hard to get up here and talk about stuff that's exciting and lovely. And you gave us the tool, and you gave us the encouragement. And we decided to take a step of faith and grab hold of it. And I encourage you, whatever your thoughts are when you leave here tomorrow, I encourage you to keep praying about it. I encourage you when you go back to your congregations and you're saying, boy, you know, this was this. And I don't know, it sounds too big. It sounds overwhelming. Give it over to the one that can handle it, because I'm telling you what, no matter how hard you try, you won't be able to handle it. I'm a better preacher because of Berry Bible Institute. I've been reminded of my job. I've been reminded of my responsibilities from the time I left here in 73. There's a lot of them I'd fallen slackered on. It taught me. It's put me in a position of accountability, of knowing the Word of God, and the responsibility of leading other people to the Savior that can save them from sin. I encourage you to remember, as we close, it's God's plan. Allow Him to work.